Welcome to another brand new episode of Cycle Talk SA. I'm Brad Brown, your host once again this week. Thank you for taking the time to download and listen to this weekly podcast aimed specifically at the South African cycling fraternity. We focus on South African cycling. And on this week's show, an interesting interview with TV personality and hip-hop star Proverb. You may know him from Idol South Africa. He's the host, also a number one single artist. And yeah, it's great to have him on the show this week. You might be thinking, hang on a sec, I've got the wrong program. Well, you haven't. Proverb just rode his first Amashova last weekend, just getting into the sport of cycling. And I wanted to touch base with Pro just to find out how it went. Also, just chat a little bit about Idols, as well as the South African music scene, and also what Proverb's future is when it comes to health and fitness. I can tell you that he has lost 1/5 of his body weight. 20% of his body weight he has lost just by changing the way he does things, eating, exercising. Phenomenal story. So that's coming up on this week's Cycle Talk essay. I also caught up with Mariska Matia to chat a little bit about the state of South African track cycling. Mariska's on her way to Manchester this coming weekend to participate in a World Cup event. She's actually going to Wales first, that World Cup event happening in the beginning of November. But I caught up with Mariska just to find out how she's going with regards to preparations, also what she had to do to qualify. And also thoughts, well, you know what, maybe we can try and help with funding a little bit as well. Mariska's really battling, having to come up with half the funds for this trip. The previous trip she made to the US had to come up with 100% of the money. So, yeah, if you can help Mariska, her details are on the show as well. It would be much, much appreciated. She is a South African champion, multiple South African champion, and flying the flag on the track for South Africa as well. So that's all coming up in this week's show. And don't forget, as always, if you'd like to be in touch with us, you can pop us an email, podcast@cycletalksa.co.za. You can also tweet us at cycletalksa. Or alternatively, pop onto our Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/cycletalksa. Enough of me waffling. Let's get straight into our first interview, and it is with Proverb. Well, this past weekend in Durban was the Amashova, and I'm really chuffed that our next guest actually rode it. Used to work with him for quite a while at the last radio station I worked at. He is a very well-known face in the South African music industry, the presenter of South African Idol, also a great musician in his own right. Proverb, welcome onto the show. Thanks for chatting to us today, mate.
Brad, thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for that kind intro as well.
Pro, you rode Amashova yesterday. Just in a nutshell, how did it go?
Look, it went fantastic, and I'll have you know, this was my first attempt at doing something like this. I think the last time I was on a bike, I was maybe 19. But you know what? I'm so glad I did it, and I definitely want to take up cycling and maybe do it again next year, the long route this time, the full-length one.
Pro, tell me how you got into the cycling thing. I mean, when we were working together, I mean, I've also got a bit of a background. I mean, you were quite a big guy too. I was very overweight. Yeah, I saw you the other day, and you've lost tons of weight. I mean, you've taken on this fitness sort of trip thing in a big way, haven't you?
Look, it's one of those things. You either go fully in or you don't. So I weighed in at about 102 2 years ago. You know, I got on a scale one day, saw it, and you know what? I was just unhappy with this, man. Not to mention with everything you do, you know, the shoes, the TV shows. You know, it's always a thing trying to get you to fit into a suit and this. So I was just uncomfortable, awkward, uncomfortable, unhappy. And I decided to just prioritize my health. And you know what? That's probably the best decision I've made for myself and my life.
You said you weighed in at 102. What's the scale clocking at now?
No, now listen, now I range between 80 kgs and 81 after a terrible weekend.
Dude, that is amazing. 20 kgs, that's like 20% of your body weight that you've lost. That's fantastic.
I have never thought about it in percentage. As you say, yeah, that is 20%, isn't it? But yeah, look, the thing is not to keep it off and just to lead a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah, without a doubt. And 20 kgs, Pro, that's a Jonas brother. And bro, tell me, I mean, you mentioned it was your first cycle race, and you rode when you were 19 last. I mean, did you enjoy it? Tell us how it went. I mean, what was the vibe like and the crowds and that sort of thing?
You know what, the vibe honestly is fantastic, Brad, and because it's not just, you know, seasoned pros that are riding it, but because, you know, there's personalities, there's friends, there's families, there's kids, toddlers, you know what I mean, there's veterans, so it makes for such a wonderful atmosphere. There isn't too much pressure, you know, it's not like we're trying to win, but more trying to sort of conquer it and complete it. And there's no feeling, Brad, I tell you, like seeing the finish line and getting a medal. So I loved it so much. Very fulfilling. So glad I did it.
Yeah, it is cool. And you rode as part of like a media sort of celeb team. There were quite a few of you guys doing it. Who else was there?
You know what? We had Vanessa Marawa of Vuma FM. Chef Benny of the Master Chef fame also came out and rode with us. And there were a few local personalities as well who made our KZN contingent. And let me tell you, man, it was a fantastic vibe. But Gareth also from ENCA also came through, as well as Graham Watkins of the Graham Watkins Project. So, yeah, it was honestly just a fantastic vibe, different personalities. We got to hang out. We all enjoyed the race.
Awesome, man. It sounds like it was a good day out. And Pro, tell us a little bit about the Idols journey. Still going strong?
Idols is also going very well. This is my fourth season, second year co-producing it. We are at the top eight phase at the moment. In fact, last night we had the top eight performance show. So, yeah, I think the judges have a tough job this year, as well as the voters, by the way, who completely hold the power right now. So just because the talent is substantially higher this year, so we'll see how it pans out. It's definitely going to be a fantastic season.
Pro Idols is an interesting one. I mean, you mentioned the Graham Watkins Project. Graham came through the Idols channels as well, and he set himself up quite nicely. He didn't win the competition, but it's a great way for musos to get a foot in the door in the music industry in South Africa, because it's not an easy industry to break into, is it?
Look, it definitely is. Look, Idols is an incredible platform. I mean, you know, it's on Mnet, it's on Mzansi Magic, it's on, you know, the Premium, it's a flagship show. So it enjoys tremendous viewership. Now, a lot of A&Rs from record companies use that to sort of gauge and to look for new talent, you know. But the key, Brad, as you know, is to use it, you know, which is why I applaud a lot of the contestants who don't necessarily win, but go on to have long careers because they recognize the platform that it is, you know?
Yeah.
So guys like Graham Watkins, as you say, guys like Lloyd Fele, who didn't win, but have gone on to really have long, sustainable careers.
Yeah, Pro, I mean, I couldn't agree more. Idols is all it is a platform. You still need to work hard. It's like any career you choose. Music, you probably end up working harder than most people think. It's really glamorous. But Idols just gives you a step up and gives you a chance to sort of really do well. And there have been Idols winners in the past that thought that, you know what, this is it. They've made it and nothing's happened for them. Whereas you look at guys who like you mentioned, like Lloyd and Graham, those are two of the hardest working guys in the industry. And they get in the results because of it.
You know, Brad, what's not widely understood by me is that Idols, our job and our mandate is to produce a fantastic top-end TV show, right? The onus is on the contestants to create a career off of it. We're not in the business of creating careers. We find the star, you know, but our job is to create a TV show. The minute we've handed you the prize package and your win and the confetti has now settled, the very next day we are on the next season. You know what I mean? So thereafter, it's not to you to use that platform to say, how can I then run with this and best maximize?
Yeah. And Pro, you speak from experience. I mean, you're a muso as well and one of the hardworking ones too. It's taken a long while to get where you are as a musician.
Yeah, look, we had to rough it out, man. We didn't have platforms like SA Idols. Actually, it's not even hip-hop in my day. So we had to, you know, pay dues, do the groundwork. But now, a lot of that groundwork can be covered in a shorter space of time because of platforms like SA Idols. And I really challenge hopefuls to recognize the platform that it is and to really make full use of it, you know, like plenty have. But unfortunately, there's also many who haven't and sit back and say, well, now that I'm popular, now that I have a recognizable face, I can sit back, relax, and wait for the phone calls to come in. And as you know, with showbiz in general, it doesn't work that way. You have to put in the groundwork.
Yeah, it's actually quite funny you say that, because a lot of musos as well sort of write off Idols as a platform and think, oh, it's the easy way out. And you know what? As a muso, I think you're silly to discount even entering the competition, because it is a great way to get out there and get people to know who you are. And then you can put in the hard graft when you've got a bit of help.
In fact, I feel like, you know, the hard work begins the minute you have a career you're trying to build. So the minute you walk off that show or any other platform for that matter, the work technically only begins when you leave the show. You know, being a recognizable face is only sort of the business card that you have. Now you have to work, you know, a network, you have to get known, get your material out there, get your studio, make sure you've got singles, you're visible at events, gigs, shows. Everyone thinks you become, you know, you become wealthy and successful overnight just by virtue of being a recognizable face. And you two do not correlate at all. Being recognizable is one thing. You know, using that as a selling point to create business is an.
Yeah, I've never gone into a supermarket and had someone recognize me and they said, you know what, cool, you can do your shopping for free because we know your face. It's hard.
Exactly, Brad. Exactly. You understand this.
It's hard work that pays the bills. Pro, I'm so chuffed that you're on this health and fitness vibe. You're doing amazing things in your career. Everything just seems to be falling in place for you. You're one of the squeaky clean dudes in the industry. I love seeing you on TV and hear you sing, and I think you're doing amazing things. Keep up the fitness vibe too, and stay in touch, mate. I'd love to hear sort of what's on the cards next for you from a fitness perspective, and in particular from a cycling perspective. I'm glad you enjoyed your first experience in a race on a bike, and hopefully we'll see you at many, many more races.
Brad, listen, thank you so much for chatting to me. And listen, you're one of the people I idolize as well, also because you turned your life around and chose the fitness route. And I'm hoping that one of these days you and I can run into each other on the open road on our bikes and motivate each other to keep going. So thank you so much.
Dude, sounds epic. I look forward to it. Well, this week on the show, we're chatting track cycling, and an absolute pleasure to welcome on this week Mariska Matea. Mariska, thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us.
Yes, thank you.
Mariska, you're sitting at the moment where you've got a big competition coming up in a couple of weeks, and you're a bit under the weather. You're a bit flu. You're not feeling well.
Yes, this week has been quite hectic, you know, trying to do a day job and trying to do a training camp at the same time. And, yeah, trying to get everything ready to depart on Sunday. So I think this morning when I woke up, my body was just, you know, it's just shutting down.
Shame. And Mariska, you say you're departing Sunday. Let's talk about what you're going to do. And then if you don't mind, I'd like to just go back and find out how you got into track cycling and that sort of thing. But you're heading to the UK. It's the first of three World Cup events that are taking, or the first one's taking place in Manchester, that you've qualified to race into. We'll talk about the qualification as well, because I know you had to go to the States and you qualified by getting some points there as well. Tell us a little bit about this trip. You've got a bit of a training camp coming up and then the actual race that's taking place in the beginning of November.
Yes, we're departing from Cape Town on Sunday. We've got this week all the guys, or most of the guys in the national team has been training together. So we leave on Sunday to go to Wales, Newport. We'll be riding or doing a training camp there for 12 days. It's basically just to get your speed up on the wooden boards, you know. All the tracks in South Africa is cement tracks, and wooden track is, it feels a lot different and it's faster, so you have to get used to racing on wood. So that from there on, we fly over to Manchester and then we compete in the World Cup from 1-3 November.
As far as Team South Africa goes, how many cyclists are going over to race?
It's nine of us going over.
Okay, so there's nine of you in total that are racing. And then just
talk
to me a little bit about the qualification process for being able to race in these World Cup events.
Okay. First of all, if you're doing individual events, you have to qualify a certain amount of points to qualify for the World Cup. You get that through riding your national champs, riding UCI events that's got UCI levels, and then also like international Grand Prix. It's not everything the same criteria. So in sprinting, there's different criteria, but you have to have certain points to qualify. And then there's, for non-Olympic events, there's a less amount of points that you need to qualify. And then for the Olympic events, you need quite a bit of points to qualify.
Okay. And for the events that you're taking part in, I mean, you've had to go over to the States. You've actually just returned from America, trying to pick up some points there as well. Tell us a little bit about your qualification in like specifically, what did you have to do to qualify?
I went to the States, one thing in mind is to get enough UCI points. There was two races in the 5 weeks that I was there, two UCI races. So basically when you win a race, there you get 30 points. It was a category 3, level. So, Grand Prix, International Grand Prix would be a Cat 2 and the World Cup would be a Cat 1. So that racing that I did was Cat 3 racing. So yes, I got, third in the scratch race. I got a second in the Kirin, and then, I got a seventh in the Kirin, and I've got a fourth in a point race. So they gave me enough points to qualify for this upcoming World Cup.
Okay. That's fantastic. And as far as sort of your history and getting into track cycling, if I recall, I mean, I was just doing a bit of research on you. You started cycling in 2004, so you're almost into your 10th year. How did you get into the sport initially?
Yes, I got into the sport. My dad took me to go watch Tri-Nation cycling. It's normally an event that they host the Friday evening before the August here in Cape Town. It's basically then Australia, Germany and South Africa racing against each other. So I went the Friday evening and I saw this racing and I just told my dad, you know, it looks very fierce. It looks very competitive and I love the speed and I want to get involved. And since then it was, it was quite it was 10 years ago, but I didn't actually just start into like track racing. The interest was definitely planted and I got to know track cycling more.
Mariska, it's quite interesting. You mentioned the Cape Argus Pick and Pay Cycle Tour. And I mean, that's the largest time cycling event in the world. Up in Joburg, there's the Momentum 94.7 Cycle Challenge, which is coming up soon. So as far as cycling goes, I mean, cycling in South Africa is a big, big sport, but track is quite a small aspect to it. There aren't that many track cyclists really, really racing hard in South Africa compared if you look at the fun riders and the road and mountain bike and that sort of thing.
Yes, it's quite a concerning factor at the moment. You know, if you look at countries like Great Britain, Australia, New Zealand, where I got the privilege of meeting a lot of guys in the States when I was there. You know, their whole foundation when you start cycling, everything happens on the track. You know, they don't have like we do the fun rides. You know, every weekend you go somewhere, then you see a fun ride, and you know they don't have the night like. Races like 94.7 and August, they don't have that, but they've got the infrastructure from, you know, coming up from track and breeding those professional cyclists. Where in South Africa, I think we're just a complete turnaround. We've got a lot of cyclists in South Africa, but a lot of fun riders and not elite level cyclists. And, I wish track, I only heard the stories about the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s, where track was big. And I wish we can get track on that level again. I don't know what happened in the 10 years, 15 years, 20 years space. I just wish we can get that, level up and, that interest back into track cycling. I think if the interest is there, then the athletes would also be interested in racing track.
Yeah, because I mean, track is such an amazing sport to watch. I mean, where if you look at those big fun rides, they're not really spectator sports. I mean, the guys come past so fast, whereas track, it's in a confined space, so you can sit and watch. And it's just really exciting to watch. You mentioned the different races, the scratch, the Kieran, and all of that sort of thing. And there are lots of nuances to it. I love track cycling. But one thing, and I think you alluded to it, is one of the problems in South African cycling is we're not producing world-class track cyclists, because that's essentially, as an elite cyclist, where you learn the tactics, you learn how to race, you get a lot of your speed off the track as well, and then you can take those skills that you've learned and mastered on the track and put them on the road. Yeah. Whereas at the moment, we sort of trying to produce road cyclists and sort of almost expecting people to have those sort of skills, the techniques and the skills that they should have learnt on the track that they're not actually producing on the road either.
Yeah, definitely. You know, track is, there's no, I would almost want to say, incentive to get into track cycling. Like, there's no one, you know, we try to get development programs running, you know, for kids to get out of their schools and, you know, try out track in a safe environment. You know, but at the moment, you know, there's no incentive, there's no, you know, in mountain biking, the late Barry Sunder, you know, everybody was looking up to him, you know, everybody wanted to get into mountain biking. At the moment, there's no one in the track that, you know, that kids are saying, like, we want to be that person, you know, we want to get involved with track cycling. And, yeah, and I think, also, you know, sponsors wise, you know, as soon as, even if the guys, ride track when they're 14, 15, 16 years old, they just go away immediately because there's absolutely no money in track. There's more money in road and mountain biking than in track. So even if the youngsters start out in track, when they're 16, they just go over to road or mountain biking.
Yeah, it is such a difficult one though, and it's tough. And you mentioned something there that I had actually never thought of, and it's actually such a great thing. You talk about the safety. I mean, for anybody with kids, you worry about your kids on the road and will they be okay? Track is exactly that. It's a non-threatening, safe place for your kids to ride their bikes and learn the skills they need to do or know in order to race on the road.
Definitely. I mean, there's no cars riding. You know, you can, we are very fortunate in Cape Town with Balva Velodrome. You know, you can, when it's available, you can ride in when it's raining, when it's storming, you know, and, yeah, and it's very, very safe. The only thing that scares, the kids the most is, you know, the embankment because it's so steep. Yeah. But, you know, once they get on it, you know, it's really like, you just have to, then the skills come into play. You know, when you more, you do it, and the kids would just love it. And I see now with a couple of development programs that we are trying to get up now, the kids are really enjoying it. And the fathers and mothers, the parents, everybody is just happy because, you know, there's no traffic. They can just literally, you know, watch their kids riding their bike.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. And then Mariska, you mentioned the different races that you're involved in. I think a lot of people who cycle, and in particular fun riders, they see sort of track cycling and they're not really sure of how it works. But once you've sort of learnt the techniques and that as a spectator, it's really exciting to watch. Can you explain, like, just briefly and just really dumb it down for someone like me with regards to the scratch race? What is the scratch race about?
Okay. A scratch race is basically a straightforward race. It is, you know, the first person who crosses the line first wins the race. It varies in distances from 7.5 kilometers up into 20 kilometers. So, it's basically the first person cross the line wins the race.
Okay, and then the other race that you're involved in, can you explain that to us as well?
The Kieran is more of a sprinter's event. So it's the motorbike which sits on the front for five and a half laps. And then the motorbike will pull off around about 60 kilometers an hour. And then the guys would fight it out with 2.5 laps to go. You know, they would sprint it out. And it's more of a sprinter's event. It's definitely, you get speeds up to 70 plus kilometers an hour.
I mean, that's serious, serious power, because a lot of people see that and they see the motorbike and they go, what is happening here? But it's basically just to help get the riders up to speed. The bike pulls off and then it's a free-for-all.
Yes, yes. it's very tactical as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and let's talk about that Bellville Velodrome. I mean, for people who are in Cape Town, I'm actually, to be honest, I mean, I'm up in Joburg. I don't even know where my closest sort of track is where people can cycle. But in Cape Town, you guys do have that wonderful facility. If somebody's listening to this and perhaps they've got kids or perhaps they want to get involved in track cycling, how can they go about getting in touch with perhaps a club down there in Bellville to find out more?
Yes, the Kinetic Club is very involved with the track cycling and with the development. And you guys can also go onto my website, marushka.co.za, and you, anybody can send me an email, and I'll put them in touch with anybody who would run the development programs. And, you know, even if you just pop around the track at the Bellville Velodrome, you just pop around there, there's mostly cyclists racing. And then you just ask around. A lot of the folks are very, very friendly. But the Kinetic Club, and, you can just pop me an email to get the particulars, the phone number.
Mariska, one of the things too, I mean, you mentioned all this travel to the States and now you're heading to the UK as well for this next event. There's not many sponsors in track cycling in South Africa, unfortunately. You guys are getting a little bit of support from Cycling South Africa, but you've got to fund a lot of this trip yourself. I mean, that must be pretty difficult for you.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult. You know, America was absolutely self-funded. I have a sponsor at the moment, Intellibus, which they're not a very big sponsor, but they involved in. They gave me some of the money to go to America, but I had to save up a lot of money to go. And generous people from the Hub SA also donated money for me to go to America. Coming back, you know, going to the UK again, this trip, CSA is paying half of it, which, I think we are very grateful for. But again, you know, it's been just over a month since I came back from America, and I have to just give out money or get money again to give out to go to another camp, and another international competition. So it's very hard. I'm really struggling to get sponsors, to sponsor me. And, I'm really looking for sponsors.
Cool. Mariska, well, what I'll do is I'll pop your details up on our Facebook and Twitter and that sort of thing. So if people want to perhaps get in touch and try and sponsor you for that trip, I know you're doing great stuff and you're working really hard, and it must be difficult because you work full time as well. Then you need to train and try and compete at the top level too. It can't be easy having to fund yourself. So, yeah, I'll pop those details up as well if that's cool.
Yes, that would be awesome. Very much appreciated. Thanks.
And then, I want to wish you all the well on your travels heading to the UK this weekend. Best of luck, and we'll be screaming for you and hope you can get the results you're hoping for.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
And that's about a wrap for this week's show. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. How inspirational is that proverb journey? 20 kilograms, man alive, that's fantastic. One-fifth of his body weight gone. Just amazing, amazing guy, really down to earth and just doing amazing things in the South African music and television industry as well. So thanks for your time today, Pro. I know you're really busy with Idols heading into the final stages. And then also to Mariska Matia, thank you so much for your time too. I know you're heading off to the UK, and hopefully you can get rid of that bug before you head over and do South Africa proud. We really, really are chuffed that you're doing so well on the international stage as well. As always, if you want to be in touch, podcast@cycletalksa. You can tweet us @cycletalksa, or you could pop onto the Facebook page. It is facebook.com/cycletalksa. As I always do on this program, if you listen to it through the iTunes platform, if I could ask you a huge favor, if you wouldn't mind just taking a few seconds and leaving us a star review, and if you would be so kind, a rating as well. Just so that other people can find this podcast too. We're going along very, very nicely, getting quite a few reviews and ratings. Obviously, the more we get, the better it is. That's the way iTunes ranks it. So if you wouldn't mind just taking a couple of seconds out of your day to do that for us. We work really hard at putting these programs together, and if you do enjoy them, I would really appreciate it if you could help us do that and spread the word. So that's about it for this week. Until next week, have yourself a brilliant one. I hope the training's going well, and we'll definitely chat soon. Cheers.